The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Hey, welcome back to another Mission Minded here on the Tony Curry Radio Network on TKR. You can hear this show 5 days a week right here. He's Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I'm Tony Curry, and of course, we do the show every single week, and thanks to thousands of folks who listen to us every single week and hear it again on TKR and wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're available on every major industry, and watch it right here on our brand new YouTube channel. A lot of people finding our YouTube channel, they actually like to watch us talk about what we're getting into here on Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. Michael, first of all, how are you doing? Pleasantries this morning. Good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm ready to start another week with you, and always enjoy our time together. Got my ears lowered a little bit this past weekend, so yeah.
It looks good.
I need to go ahead and begin the transition. I'm an old man who's balding, and so I just need to go ahead and just prepare myself for that and just kind of, you know, grade it down a little bit.
You still got some snow on the rooftop, brother.
A little bit, not much, but.
Yeah, you're fine. We got another show called Bite by Bite, which specifically talks about food banks and, of course, Feeding America and the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few minutes as well. Specific skills you need to polish to be successful, which is very, very general and broad. And I know you have some different points that you want to talk about on this Mission Minded about these things, but out of the ones you had, and I wrote them down, you got decision-making, emotional intelligence, and self-management, and leadership skills, and organization, everything else. Is there one of these that is more important than some of the others that you want to start with?
Well, yeah, and before I I want to start with critical thinking skills and decision skills. And to me, they kind of go hand in hand. There's two different things that really kind of go hand in hand. One of the things I've looked at that I really long for in an employee is the ability to assess and say, okay, I'm going to look at the landscape of what I'm facing. I know where I'm trying to get to, but A, B, and C isn't in alignment. Mm-hmm. And so something's out of place. How do I then, you know, does it just stop me in my tracks and I'm just handcuffed? Or do I try to navigate through this and understand how to still how I still can achieve my goals? And it's not just in the workplace. I mean, this is in life as well. And I get it that some people are in jobs where their bosses tell them, well, they don't have the authority to make decisions. And so they're kind of handcuffed right from the beginning. Uh-huh. But you know, the way I tend to run in my organization is I want to deflect as much as I can down to the individual. I want to empower them to be able to make decisions. But I tell them, you know, with that comes you have to be able to think critically. It's not just making the decision. Now, some people can think critically, but still can't actually make the decision. You know, they can think critically and go, okay, here's two or three options, but really can't pull the trigger. But, you know, I pay my directors and even below them, managers and supervisors, to make decisions because there's too many decisions for one person to make. And I really encourage leaders out there, if there's somebody listening who feels like they have to maintain control of the whole operation, it will free you in so many ways if you begin to train people how to think critically, help them to see what you see, then empower them to make decisions. You will see your operations run smoother. You will see better morale because they feel trusted. They feel emboldened to take greater ownership in the company. There's just so many things that go into that critical thinking. And there's lots of information on the internet and critical thinking exercises. Now, some people also have to, on all these things we talk about, you've got to have enough wherewithal, I guess, to look at yourself honestly or to go to somebody you trust and say, how would you assess my critical thinking skills? You know, and then if they say, well, I wouldn't say that's your strong suit or you're okay, you know, your average. Hey, don't get defensive about those things. I mean, I know on this list, there's some things that I would grade myself as an A. There's other things I'd grade myself as a low C or D. And I'm looking at, hey, how do I always improve myself?
Yeah, and back up just a few seconds here. Sure. And talk about what exactly is critical thinking.
Okay, so critical thinking to me is, and I know there's all these formal definitions, but when I utilize it, it's the ability to really think objectively,
okay.
To understand where you are and where you're trying to get to. So you're looking out and you're looking, okay, what are the barriers? What are the true barriers? Because sometimes we can misunderstand. We get into our feelings sometimes and we think a person's a barrier, or we think something, you know, no, it's what are the actual barriers that's keeping me from achieving either my personal goals or my work goals, or and be able to almost unemotionally walk through that and have an honest assessment about how I need to get there. And that's necessary to then say, okay, I can critically think and understand where the challenges are, where the risks are, where the right path is, and then begin to move forward in that.
Gotcha.
And it's not something that comes easy for a lot of people, especially if they've never been empowered to do those kind of things. With some people that you just need to train. And that's, again, I'll say it's very important to invest in your people, understand where their strengths and weaknesses are. And if somebody, if you have a director who's not skilled in that, then you owe it to them as a leader to begin to offer them the training on how to get better.
Well, and I would think that a lot of that would probably start where you have managers under you probably come to you with issues and say, listen, I'm having an issue with this person or this particular situation. And what's the question you ask? Well, how would you handle it?
That's what? Right. Yeah. And yeah. And you put it back on them. Yeah. But what I found to be a useful exercise is, and the problem is that's the easy way. You're like, oh, I want, you know, pick A over B, but they haven't learned anything except in that, you know, my boss just told me to do this. I'm going to go execute that. Well, anybody can execute things that you just give them. What a boss wants to see is that you've taken in, you know, you may be looking at a project and say, well, this is too slow. I'm looking at personnel, I'm looking at finance, I'm looking at how everything affects this particular project. And based on all those factors and thinking through all those factors, I'm coming to you with my first recommendation is A, here's my second one, here's B. And then the boss, you know, and in this case, me, I would say, I would almost critique their critical thinking, which mm-hmm. is, okay, have you thought of everything? Maybe, maybe not. Have that once they did the critical thinking, did they reach the proper conclusion? Because lots of times I've had people critically think and then they end up with a conclusion. And then you go make it, you go chasing that like, oh, this is my real problem. And no, it's not. Because maybe you didn't go deep enough in your critical thinking process, or maybe you left some factors out. That's why you need a mentor / coach / boss who's going to help develop you, because it is something that's very difficult. And lots of times, you know, I have the perspective of the whole organization. When I have directors, they have the perspective of their departments. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes they draw the right conclusion based on the information they have for their departments, but they need to be informed of other factors across the organization.
A lot of these are pretty self-explanatory. I mean, the leadership skills, obviously you want to have leadership. Some people are made out to be leaders and some are the sheep. I understand the communication skills, the critical thinking you mentioned in research. Something I thought was an interesting thing. We talked about this before we got on. You talked about the emotional intelligence. Talk about emotional intelligence a little bit, because we talk about how often, particularly in the world we live in right now, and everyone's got a voice, everyone's got social media, we're way too emotional. Talk about that emotional intelligence aspect of this.
Yeah, and you see this lots of times with the different generations. So I am right on the line of, I'm technically Gen X, but just below the baby boomer line.
Yeah.
So when you talk about, you know, you have then Gen Z, our millennials and then Gen Z. And now I heard there's a Gen Alpha or a Group Alpha. I mean, I guess those are the teenagers. I don't know. I can't keep it straight anymore.
We're not them. Yeah.
Yeah. So lots of times when I've gone in and I've got a millennial or I've got a Gen Z and you say things of what you think is normal to your life and you say things and the feelings get hurt, or when they get frustrated, a lot of those people have not ever been trained on how to maintain control of your emotions and what's appropriate to show in the workforce and what's appropriate not to. How do I handle if my boss says something that hurts my feelings? Mm-hmm. You know, you and I came from a generation, you know, we had parents that were hurting our feelings on a regular. We had a dad that would be hurting our feelings on a regular basis. So yep. Having a boss tear us up. I mean, I've had generals rip me just complete new ones in the military. Yeah. Tell me I'm the worst officer they've ever seen in their life. And so it's hard to hurt my feelings nowadays. I've gotten pretty tough over the years. But a lot of these kids who have never had to face conflict and responsibility and the consequences of not carrying through with your responsibilities and a boss coming at them in a very direct way, a lot of times they simply do not know how to handle. They weren't taught at home. You have a lot of helicopter parents that protect them, mm-hmm. thinking that, well, I'm going to shield them from all this pain and hurt. And they are so preparing them for failure, because if they never experience it, they think the world revolves around them. When they get into the workplace, then they think they are not only them, but their how they feel about something matters more than anything else. And most bosses, well, I'll use myself. If somebody comes into my office and I have some very young people, I do want to listen to them. I do want them to feel like their voice matters. But I also sometimes will recognize this is coming from a 25-year-old who has such limited experience. It's not that it's a bad idea. It's not that it's a bad suggestion. It's that they're not even close to being able to see the perspective that I need them to see. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, they have to grow in their life. But if I reject that idea and they go off and in a way just kind of suck their thumb and pout and mope, and then it affects their productivity, then we've got some issues. And you see this more and more. I have actually been shocked at the number of millennials and Gen Zs that I've encountered who just sit in their office and sob every time something doesn't necessarily go their way. And what ends up happening for me is, you know, I want to be sensitive. I don't want to go out of my way to be unkind or harsh or even speak harsh. But I mean, sometimes you're like, hey, we're here to do a job and I just can't manage your feelings all day long, because that's not just one of you. You know, I've got 50 something people in this organization. And if I just went around, all I could do was massaging people's emotions and worrying about where they were, it'd be a maddening process. So what I tell young people is, listen, if you're the one that stays in their feelings all the time and other people can take correction and move on, guess who's going to advance?
Sure.
In this? It's the people who can take the criticism, move forward, not come undone, emotionally speaking. And I want to make sure I'm very clear. That's different than having times and events in your life that are emotional in nature. You may be going through a bad breakup. You may be going through some financial difficulty. So you may come to work and you may already be kind of on the edge. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody who cannot take any criticism. They push back. They get angry. They can't control their emotions when they're if they get angry with somebody, they let them know with a raised voice. They don't know how to professionally sit down and negotiate and talk things out. That's the kind of people. And if you find yourself in that position, just understand that's going to plague you the rest of your life.
Yeah. I worked with Aldo Greco doing the morning radio for a while, and he talks about a game where he was playing with the Houston Oilers and they had lost the game by 30 points and he missed a field goal late in the game. And after the game, obviously no one did their jobs well. And Al was pointed out, and the boss, Jeff Fisher at the time, called him out in front of the entire group and said, "What the hell were you doing? And why did you miss that 27-yard field goal?" And just called him out. And he was like, what the hell? We lost by 30. It was a 3-point field goal. And then afterwards, Jeff met with him in his office and said, "Listen, I was using you as an example here to reach the rest of my team, because some people can handle it. And some people," and you're talking about football players, right? These guys should be able to take everything. So it was used as an example. Something else.
Back onto that, I just heard that story recently about he's in the professional ranks now. Saban did the exact same thing. They came in, they were playing terrible. Saban rips him at halftime and calls him out by name. Mm-hmm. And so afterwards, after the game, he went up to the coach and was like, "Hey, coach, you know, I give it my all in practice. Nobody's trying harder than I am, and yet you call me out." And he goes, "Because I know you can take it. And I'm speaking to the rest of the team," yep, "but a lot of those can't take it. It would devastate them." And he was just kind of laughing about it. And he's like, "Well, that's fine. I get it. But how about a little heads up next time before you launch into me and just destroy me right there in front of the whole team?"
Well, it goes like that. And not only but in sports, but also in businesses. And I always took it as, you know, when my boss really railed on me for something that I didn't really feel like I was responsible for, I kind of almost took it as a compliment, because I knew that he was probably speaking to the rest of the crew and he knew I could handle it. And he was using me as an example. I didn't appreciate it at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Wrong.
But I also knew that I was in a leadership position on my staff and knew that he was probably speaking to some of the people. Michael Coleman, the CEO of Heart of Alabama Food Bank, joins us here. Of course, this is Mission Minded. Some other things on this, and I'm just picking some of them off the bat, but one of the last ones on here, writing skills, which I think is really interesting, because you always have mentioned your handwriting skills and how you like to write things, but talk about the writing skills. I think when you talk about how to polish your skill set to be the best you can possibly be and successful, writing is probably not the top of the line for a lot of individuals.
Yeah. And it's one of those things to where when I see you write me an email right away, even if you're just looking for a job, or if you're reaching out to me to do business, whatever, doesn't matter. If you cannot speak proper grammar, now I'm not talking about, because I use things, there's too many tools out there right now. There's Grammarly, there's others that will analyze your sentences, not just do a spell check, but check the grammar. There's so many tools out right now. And if you send somebody something, people are going to form judgments about you. Mm-hmm. I've had a manager before who was a young guy. He was very good in some things, but when he wrote, it really gave the perception that he was not educated.
Yeah.
And so what becomes bad is you don't want him, if he's in a management position, you don't want him communicating not just internally, but externally, because if he can't even complete a sentence with proper grammar, then it's like, well, what kind of people do you have working for you? Mm-hmm. And so we try to emphasize, you know, we're not trying to be sticklers like, you know, grammar Nazis or anything like that. But yeah, it really sends a message. And let me tell you, by the way, the same thing on the speaking skills. If you speak now, it's very interesting to talk about this. There's a formal register and a casual register. So we all have the casual registers. Like if I'm sitting around and I'm at a ball game with a bunch of guys and our hats are around backwards and maybe had a beer or two, we couldn't care less if we're speaking grammatically correct. We're cracking on each other. We're just having a good time. But I know that when I step into a business meeting or I step into a disciplinary counseling session or whatever, that all of a sudden my register is going to change into a formal register. And I'm going to speak grammatically correct. I'm going to speak and be more appropriate as to what I say. I would not have any profanity laced in there. or slang or anything else. And so a lot of times people who are coming up in these young generations, and this is not just a young generation's problem, but a young generation people problem. But there's some people who really only know a casual register. And so they don't know when to transition to a more formal register, you know, a yes sir, no sir, when it's appropriate, when it's not. And so sometimes I've run into issues where, because I like to be lighthearted. And so one of the ways I show love to people and show my friendliness is I tease them. And, yep. But I can take it back. They tease me, I tease them. And that's fine to do that when it's just you and them. And, you know, but if I brought my board of directors around, I wouldn't want that saying, you know, you got to transition. So you want to be able to speak well, but understand kind of what the environment is, when to speak, when to write, and when it needs to be done well, and when maybe it's not so important.
I think one of the things that a lot of people, and this is in the texting culture, we've had a lot of people talk in broken sentences, obviously, when we're texting, which is normal. And then when I start writing an email, I find myself actually texting an email, and I have to read it out to make sure I put the I's in there and put the commas in there and everything else. And I read everything to make sure that I'm sending something off, because I have received emails from very affluent individuals that grammatically it's all over the road. Really? And it's like, wow. And that's something that we're taught at a very
early age. Hey, Tony, have you ever gotten a text and it's got all these initials? I've had to go to Google and say, what do these three letters mean? Yeah. I mean, because I can't even communicate with folks.
My daughter recently texted me CYA, as in like, see ya, like see ya later. And I said, that means cover your ass is what that means. And she's like, oh my gosh. And I was like, yeah, don't tell your old man to cover his ass, but I appreciate that. Mission minded here. We're talking about specific skills you need to polish to be successful. Something that's on every one of these lists. And I always think it's interesting, and that it's even in biblical terms about the leadership skills. We all want to be leaders, but we can't all be leaders. Talk about what it means to be a leader, and not necessarily be maybe the leader of your entire bunch, because there can only be one of those. Be the leader of your group, maybe the leader of your skill, and maybe to grow into more of a leadership skill, and also talk about, and I've even talked to my kids about this. You know, we talk about how important it is to be a leader, but there are a lot of people that aren't made to be leaders, but they're wonderful followers. You can't have leaders without followers. You can't have followers without leaders. Talk about what it means to be a successful follower.
Well, yeah, a successful follower, I think that kind of falls more into the teamwork, which, hey, you're there for the team to be successful. That's your desire. And you're willing to give whatever it takes. And it may not be the path that you would go, but you don't push back on every direction. And so that's a good team person is you're there to encourage and make sure that the team is successful. One of the things I think is so important people to understand, somebody goes, hey, I'm not interested in upper level management, or I'm not interested in being a leader. Well, leader, you are 100% right. Everybody is not wired to lead people into battle. Everybody's not prepared or wired to run a company. But I think everybody can show leadership capabilities, or at least tendencies. And what I mean by that is not necessarily being in charge, but understanding. So I could be a good team member. And I'm really just kind of focused on how I fit in. But if I can show a leadership ability, it is I'm initiating to do things that's in the best interest of other people. So if I see a team member who's down or discouraged, I don't wait till somebody says, hey, go check on so and so. I go and because I care about them. I try to find how to, I'm paying attention to other people and trying to bring the best out in them, trying to motivate them, trying to get them to focus on the positives. And some people might just say, well, that's just being a good friend. And those two certainly overlap, but how can I inspire others? You know, I want to lead by, by not having to sit there and wait for my boss to tell me to do something when I already know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, let me self-motivate. And this is really a sad statement, but it's really true. I used to tell people coming in the Army, and that was, you know, 20 years ago. If you go into the military and you just keep your mouth shut and you show up every day, you know, and you just do what you're told, and really you could look at any job, you're typically going to rise to the upper level, to the upper crust, if you will, just by not doing anything special, because most people are, they don't come to work on time. They've always got issues. They're out. So you just come to work every day and say, what can I do to make the team so, you know, what do you want me to do today? And you do that over the course of a year, I guarantee you they're going to look at everybody hired within the past year, and you're going to be in the top five. Mm-hmm. And you're not doing anything special.
Yeah.
You're doing things that you and I were taught was expected of everybody. But nowadays, it's just such a different world. So you stay committed. You don't. So even though I wouldn't be in charge, I can still be exhibiting all these leadership traits. And the boss is going to look at that and say, hey, if I have to pick somebody from my crew to accept more responsibility, it would be Michael or whoever's doing it. Now, the choice as to whether you want to go handle that burden. I've had people, lots of people turn me down for management positions that I've looked at and said, I think you can do this. Mm-hmm. I think you would be great. And they say, I don't want the pressure. Yeah. I'm a mechanic and I just like fixing things. I don't like dealing with people, and I 100% get it. It's really important that people understand it's not a negative thing. It's not a character flaw in you if you don't want to assume responsibility for other people. It's just not in it. Just some people just aren't wired. But that doesn't mean that you still can't exhibit some leadership traits, even though you're part of a bigger team.
And I always think about being your own leader. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be the leader of other people, but you can be your own leader and know what you're really good at. And you know, my dad.
Well, that speaks to the self-management skills, and we need to talk about. But like I said, just making sure, when I've tried to mentor and talk to young kids, I'm like, hey, when you transition into adulthood, here's what's different. Nobody's going to tell you when to go to bed.
Yep.
Nobody's going to tell you when to pay your bills. Nobody's going to tell you what time to get up and get dressed. If it takes you an hour to get to work, nobody's going to backwards plan for you. Nobody's going to tell you to brush your teeth. All that kind of stuff is you have to be self-disciplined and self-governing and get yourself to work and have the work ethic. And that all has to come from within. And if you can't manage, if you're showing yourself, let's say you do aspire to move up in a business, but you can't be at work on time. What does that tell? Or you come in, sometimes you look disheveled. I mean, the boss says, this guy or this person can't even manage themselves. Why would I give them more responsibility within mm-hmm. the company? So these are the kind of things, if you just bring awareness to people and say, look, if people are going to be judging me through these things, I can always be working on myself and get more polished in these areas. There's so many tools. There's so many tricks of the trade. There's so much help out there available to people. You can be continually growing. It doesn't matter if you're 20 years old. It doesn't matter if you're 60 years old. You can still continue to always improve and get better.
And we continue to grow this show here, Mission Minded. Of course, you can watch it right here on our YouTube channel on Tony Curry Radio. That's Curry with the K-K-U-R-R-E, the TKR app. Listen to the show at least 5 days a week. And of course, we also back it up with Bite by Bite, which you can hear coming up here next right here on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.